Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Oh, hello, Cheeky.
Hello.
Hello.
You're all under arrest. And before I ask Miss Harpenden to cut the ribbon, I'd like to warn her that it's holding her bra up.
Why don't you mind your own business? Cut the ribbon, darling!
Scientists have proved categorically that Great Britain will be a solid sheet of ice in 20 billion years.
How long?
20 billion years.
Oh, thank God, I thought you said 20 million. Oh.
And now, little-known facts that...
You haven't got time for that, John. Get over to the marquee. You're in the finals of the Bonnie Babies competition.
Took their time, didn't they? I entered that competition in 1939.
Yes, but after what you did in the semi-final, the judge had to go and change his trousers. By the way, we feel we should make it clear to our listeners, hello, Eric, that tonight's programme is coming live from a garden fete in Harpenden.
Incidentally, where is the fancy dress being held?
Over there, madam, and you're bound to win. That costume you've got on is hysterical.
I'm one of the judges.
Then you must win.
Which brings us to our exposure of corruption in high places.
The hot meat pies in the post office tower restaurant are off.
They'll sue us for that, you know.
Silence in court.
Thank you, Dennis. Millard, I represent the post office tower.
You're not tall enough. Get out.
I'll climb on my learned friend's shoulders. Would you kneel down, Derek?
I will accept that you represent the post office tower if you can revolve your head through 360 degrees.
How's this, Millard? I am now turning my head round through 360 degrees.
That was terrific. How did you do it?
I'm a court circular. And I used to be a part-time ventriloquist's dummy.
Really? Why did you give it up?
There's no glubbing honey in it.
No glorney. Glorney, that's true. I sat on Arthur Worsley's knee for 5 years, you know, but that's neither here nor there.
Millard, I appear for the BBC. Sometimes for the other lot, and I once did a summer season at Westcliff. I was half of a balancing act.
What happened?
My partner left in the middle of the act one night and let me down very badly.
I remember you, the great Benjamin and Barbara.
That's it. After Benjamin left, it was never the same.
Oh, nice to see you, Babs. Let's have tea in my chambers, then.
If it's all the same to you, I'd rather have a cup.
Do you mind, Bags?
Any friend of yours is a friend of mine.
Millard, I object.
Why?
I haven't had a line for half a page. Can I speak?
Don't you know?
Millard, I... Derek, you're wobbling again. Millard, my clients have briefed me.
And very nice they are, too.
You don't think the frill's too much?
No, not at all. Expensive?
No, I love a cheap frill. My clients, Post Office Tower and Chataway Enterprises Car Wash and Free Oil Limited, maintain that in a BBC programme...
BBC? What's the Bermondsey Borough Council got to do with this?
I'll get to them in a minute.
Not unless you take a taxi.
Would you call me a cab?
No, I refuse to do that joke.
You're not a bad judge.
Thank you.
Are my seams straight?
Seems straight to me.
Thank you. Beloved. My clients allege that in the BBC programme, which for the sake of argument I shall call Gardener's Question Time...
It's not called Gardener's Question Time.
You see, I've started an argument already.
The programme is called Hello Cheeky.
Silence in court!
Thank you, Dennis. Don't make a pig of yourself. Millard, for the first witness, I should like to call a hot meat pie.
Call the hot meat pie, pot of tea for four, and two custard tarts.
No onions on mine, if it's all right.
You are a hot meat pie.
Would somebody kindly take the cellophane off the witness?
Thank you, Millard.
Not at all, Mr. Pie.
Excuse me, Millard. It's meat pie with a hyphen and sometimes with onions.
Mr. Meat Pie, you work at the Post Office Tower.
Yes, I've been there now for 25...
Will counsel please refrain from nibbling the witness?
This pie's off, my love.
I don't blame him if you keep nibbling him all the time. Call the next witness. You are...
I'm Mrs. Wilkinson from the hoop last stall. Sorry to interrupt your funny, amusing little sketch, but we're a bit short on change. Will somebody give me a hand? Ooh!
Mr. Hetherington, don't do that.
He can if he wants to.
No, well, he doesn't. He doesn't do it to me, he doesn't do it to you. Now then, I move that this court goes into recess and reassembles when we've thought of some more legal jokes.
Everybody over to the hoopla stall.
Thank you, Dennis.
Ladies and gentlemen, His Worship the Mayor of Harpenden has a little-known fact joke for us.
Did you know that a female elephant is pregnant for 20 months? So don't worry, there's no rush with the knitting.
I'm forever blowing bubbles.
Of course you are, sir. Now come they along with me, you'll be all right.
Meanwhile, not 1,000 miles from Nottingham, Robin Hood lies dying.
Is little John here?
Aye, Robin.
Give me my trusty bow and one arrow. I shall fire my last arrow, and where it lands, there bury me.
And they did bury Robin where the arrow landed, on top of the wardrobe.
I like green sleeves.
Yes, yes, but not with grey flannel trousers. They went out with Johnny Weissmuller.
So did I once.
What was he like?
Well, when I say went out, we were both at an open-air barbecue together. Yeah. He went over to the spit to get a sausage. He bent over on the hot fat... Did I mention he was only wearing a loincloth?
What? did he do?
Let out one of his cries, smashed himself on the chest and jumped in the swimming pool.
I thought he had a high voice. Mm.
Dr. Barnard.
Yes?
There's a man outside... There's a man outside with a broken heart.
Tell him I've got one. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom.
And now, a look ahead at tonight's programmes. Here is a brief excerpt from tonight's play.
My nose!
More of that later tonight on BBC One. On the other channel, there's a big sugar cube with 2 painted on it going round and round and round. This is a repeat of a sugar cube shown earlier this week.
On ITV, there's a load of rubbish.
There is a BBC Three, but only dogs can hear it.
So for any dogs viewing later tonight, here are the programmes.
7 o'clock, Magic Houndabout, followed by Take Your Peek. Then, Top of the Pups with the Setters and Mongrel Jerry with their new hit, A Little Whelp from My Friends.
Then, Kenneth Kennel will be reading the K9 o'clock news, followed by Today in Parliament with Conrad Voss Bark.
International Cabaret stars Shirley Bassett and Tom Bones, singing selections from Fiddler on the Woof and Hello, Colly. Comedy comes from Terrier Scott and from Spain, El Doggo, the international biscuit juggler.
Tonight's feature film is Where Beagles Dare. The leads are Retriever Bartok and Spaniel Massey. Followed by The Weather and Die for the Queen.
Woofo dog food is a fine diet for giving health and vitality. I always give it to my Dolores, and last year she won the Greyhound Derby and the St. Ledger. And she's me wife. Think what it will do for the dogs.
All these dog jokes are beginning to affect me.
Tim, put your leg down and come away from the microphone.
And now, while Tim Brooke Taylor goes walkies, here's a song from someone who has done for popular music what Hattie Jakes has done for the ballet.
There is the ladies' powder room, shiny and bright and new. But where is the gents' convenience? Where is the loo? This kind of inequality, well, I'm afraid not do. Where is the gents' convenience? I'm asking you. Why should it have to come to blows when all I ask is this? Where in the hell a fella goes when he wants to powder his nose? There is the place where ladies go to put their faces on. But where is the gent's convenience? There is the Jane, where is the John? But when the mood's been juicy, what is a guy to do when they've laid it on for Lucy but not for Lou? Come to blows when all I ask is this, where in the hell a fella goes when he wants to powder his nose? There is the place where ladies go to put their faces on. But where is the gent's convenience? There is the Jane, where is the John? And when the mood's been juicy, what is a guy to do when they've laid it on for Lucy but not
Since the advent of local radio, it has been praised by many people, all of whom work for local radio. One of the main criticisms is that it's not local enough. So in reply to these complaints, the BBC proudly presents its first broadcast of really local radio.
This is Radio 35 Kitchener Villas. The time is 7:30, 9:45, or Mickey Mouse past Donald Duck, depending on which room you're in. Here is the news. Fighting broke out on the outskirts of the bathroom earlier today between Dad and Vera. Later, Dad issued a statement maintaining that if Vera continued to monopolise the bathroom when he was trying to get ready for work, further action would be taken. The text of the communique was as follows. If that young cow doesn't get out of the way, I'll have her guts for garters. And now for the latest on the kitchen situation, over to Pangbourne Snatch.
Well, here in the kitchen, Mum's dumplings are expected to rise later today. But the treacle tart is believed to be in critical condition due to heavy squalls of North Sea gas. A spokesman for the gas board said it wasn't his flaming fault. However, a man is expected to appear later today in the cellar to read the meter. Pangbourne Snatch, news at 35, by the gas stove.
And now over to the sports desk.
Ernest Thud here with the news that Billy Earnshaw, 14-year-old centre-forward from number 37 next door, was transferred to the coal shed last night after an examination revealed a cracked lavatory window. Billy's father spoke of the possibilities of suspension when he said, I'll see that lad hang one day. Ernest Thud, news at 35, in the airing cupboard.
And now, fashion.
Sheridan Bestial here. The best of Vera's lingerie collection was shown today when she ran upstairs on a number 33 bus. Several men applauded, and the potboy from the Duck and Pullet was asked to get off. Sheridan Bestial, news at 35, behind the bus shelter.
And finally, the weather. A warm front is expected to move towards number 35 later in the day, belonging to Miss Sargent from the welfare, but this will probably veer off due to the heavy build-up of cold pressures from Mum. That's all from news at 35, but here is a late sports flash.
We've just heard from Crystal Palace, lovely girl, that that David Hemery has broken his personal best.
Bang goes his weekend.
It hurts, you know.
What does?
You stand it on my foot when I'm reading lines.
Sorry.
And now, my impression of Bill Sykes, Nancy and the dog in a scene from Charles Dickens' immortal Oliver Twist. Nancy.
Bill!
Whoa, get down. Thank you.
Barry, do you make a living at that?
Well, I make a crust or two, you know. Which reminds me, have you got change for a loaf of bread?
Looking ahead tonight on Radio 2.
Hello, Cobber.
Hello, Cobber.
Hello, Cobber.
Hello, Cobber.
That was an excerpt from tonight's documentary on Australia, A Right Load of Cobbers.
Hello?
I'm just ringing up to complain about that last joke.
What? The one about the cobbers?
No, no, the one about Robin Hood.
But that was 5 minutes ago.
I know, but we don't get your show here. It makes it very difficult.
Get off the line.
Why?
You're dry and I want to iron you.
University of the Air, how to make a jelly set.
Get 50 jellies and stick them in an album.
I used to collect cigarette cards when I was a kid, you know. I had 49 pictures of Myrna Loy and a Labrador.
Did you stick them all in an album?
I tried to, but I got bitten.
By the Labrador?
No, Myrna Loy. Got me right in the leg.
Did you put anything on it?
No, she seemed to like it as it was.
Mr. Junkin.
Who are you?
I'm the lady from the Garden Fete.
Oh, I'd forgotten we were there. I wonder why it was raining in the studio.
Yes.
What do you want?
You're wanted urgently at the autograph tent.
Oh, really?
Yes, Mr. Cryer's pen's run out and he wants to borrow yours.
Hello, Cheeky. Would you like 3 goes for £15?
That's a bit much for a coconut shy.
Who said anything about coconuts?
How dare you, madam? What a disgusting suggestion.
I give green shield stamps.
I'll be back in a minute.
And now Timbrook Taylor gives the main reason behind divorce in Britain today.
Marriage.
Thank you. Thank you. Next week, the permissive society, does it exist?
No, it's a semi-permissive society.
What do you mean, a semi-permissive society?
I want to and the birds don't.
I must go down to the sea again.
Why?
I forgot my flippers. Meanwhile, in a karate school not 1,000 miles from... Ha-chook!
you know, on the way home last night, a fellow attacked me.
What did you do?
I gave him a Ling Pao, a Chang Wo, and a Dong Wei.
What happened?
Half an hour later, he was hungry again.
Oh.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I admire his nerve.
Shut up, fatty crier. Why aren't you in the autograph tent with my pen?
A young lady came into the tent wearing a card on a jumper that said press. I did, and they threw me out.
You fool! You fool! That was Potty Linda Lee, the famous journalist. She writes pieces on the stars, you know.
Really?
Yes, she once did a very funny limerick on Moira Anderson's leg.
I once met a chap called McKellar, a rather peculiar fella. He was very well built, and he wore just a kilt, black booties, and a lady's umbrella.
Little known facts that nobody cares about. Number...
And are you share the news is true, and are you share his will.
Did you know that John Logie Baird and a policeman arrested him for it?
Meanwhile, in a cocktail lounge not 1,000 miles from the cheese and onion crisps.
Listen, darling, that's our tune they're playing. The tune they played when we first met. Whenever I hear it, my heart swells and my mind flies back to the magic night when, to the strains of that tune, we fell in love under the Sicilian stars. Do you remember, darling?
I'm sorry, Percy, I can't hear a word you're saying for that bloody pianist.
Hey, look, the curate's just about to announce the winner of the homemade wine tasting competition.
Mrs. Spoonfellow's wine won. I'd like to see her in black stockings and a suspender belt.
And now, here is a request for Mr. Josiah Wedgwood, who lives at 37 the High Street and tiddles the cat. What a funny habit.
And here it is. A little known recording of Lord Longford singing "The Farmer and the Cowhand Should Be Friends." But don't let it go any further than that.
I'm growing a beard for Britain to show this old world we're not through. Each hair on my chin I shall count as a win for the jolly old red, white and blue. I'm growing a beard for Britain, though the days of our empire have gone. The fungus I grow will let the world know that the spirit within lingers on. The spirit of Nelson and Drake in my heart will stay ever awake. So I'm growing a beard for Britain. I feel it's the least I can do. And after it's done, for a wee bit of fun, I shall grow a moustache for Peru.
And we're just waiting for the photo to finish that song. Here it is now. It's a new Hello Cheeky record. All three musicians finished the song absolutely together, so that obviously calls for a dope test.
Ah. I say, chaps, I've got something hot from the newsroom.
Well, don't bring her in here. Barry hasn't had his tablets today. Every time it rains right through our lavatory roof.
University of the Air. How to understand logarithms.
Go to a lumberjack's dance.
Pardon?
Rhythms of loggers. You see, loggers are lumberjacks. Yes. Logarithms.
Oh, really?
What's the matter with you? It wasn't a lavatory joke.
No, it was a rotten joke.
That's true.
Meanwhile, in a farmyard not 1,000 miles from the Archers...
Excuse me, farmer, I can't help but notice here, that the cows in that field have horns, and the cows in this field haven't. Why is that?
Well, there could be a variety of reasons, my dear. Sometimes with the younger cows, the horns don't show through. Some cows are bred specially not to have horns, but the main reason in this case is that them cows are horses.
I did it. I finally snapped this morning and did it.
Did what?
I went into the Irish Linen Bank and asked for 20 handkerchiefs change.
Overheard in the Sistine Chapel... as the artist pauses and seeks inspiration.
Excuse me, Mr. Michelangelo. What time does the bigger picture start?
I want some red roses for a blue lady.
Wouldn't you be better off buying her a warm coat?
Logical.
Here is an urgent message for those of you who took down Jimmy Young's recipe this morning. It was incorrect, as Jimmy turned over two pages of his script. We hope that this hasn't inconvenienced those of you who fried your husbands.
The place, London. The time, late November. The streets are shrouded in a thick autumn fog and a blanket of mist concealing the whole...
Ooh!
Can I help you, sir?
Thank you, Constable. I'm looking for the microphone.
Ah, well, I'll accompany you, sir. It's no night for a handsome, well-set-up puff like yourself to be out alone. No offence, sir.
And none taken. Give us a kiss and tell me what you mean.
Haven't you been a-reading the papers these past few weeks, sir?
Of course I have, but the audience haven't.
Well, sir, and ladies and gentlemen, evening all. These past few weeks, any unaccompanied young gentleman, or poof, nothing personal,
of
sir,
course, no,
who finds himself wandering around Charing Cross is liable to fall foul of Madge the Tickler.
That sounds horrible.
It's the only bit of music we could get, so we did try, That didn't sound right, so we settled for...
I think you were right, Constable.
Thank you, sir. Give us a kiss.
Well,
it's very pleasant passing the time of night with a young Jessie such as yourself. No offence, sir.
No, 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 no.
But on a job like this, you need a laugh now and again.
What was that?
She's struck again. Excuse me, sir.
Sergeant! Sergeant! He's gone! Madge the Tickler! Shut up! The hairs rose on the back of my neck and the rabbits jumped out of my trousers. Quite enjoyed it, really. Eager to hear more, I hurried on an impulse. There were no cabs available. To my old friend, Arnold Ectoplasm, the editor of the Psychic Gazette.
Ah, Jesse, you're lucky to find me up. I'm just checking through tomorrow's racing results. Pour yourself an antimacassar and sit down.
Arnold, tell me all you know about Madge the Tickler.
Can we make it absolutely clear that we only want the music when I do this with my hand?
And you, mate!
It's a strange story. Let me begin in the middle.
Why not at the beginning?
I told you it's a strange story.
I see.
About 6 weeks ago, the Honourable Reggie Farquhar left his club for a breath of fresh air. Minutes later, a porter, hearing hysterical laughter, ran round the corner, but he was too late. There lay Reggie, tickled to death. On the ground beside the body, a feather duster. Pinned to his nose, a yellowing copy of The End of Me Old Cigar, across which was scrawled, "This'll Larn Them Not to Laugh," signed Madge the Tickler.
Was that it?
Yes. Since then, six members of the aristocracy have been found in similar circumstances, each case with its own fascinating features. But none of them funny, so I won't bother you with them.
But what are the police doing?
Standing around with breathalyzers, waiting for someone to invent the motor car.
But do you have a clue?
Yes, yes. Seven down, word of eight letters, meaning try it in gumboots, but have a care.
Doctor, could you come at once?
Wait until you've opened the door.
And anyway, I'm not a doctor. I'm a journalist.
I know, and he's a fat Jesse, but we're short of actors.
Oh, all right.
What seems to be the trouble?
Oh, my God.
Well, sir, we found a dead Viscount this morning, rigid with mirth underneath the arches.
Hailing a passing cab...
Hello, cab.
Hello, Cheeky.
We went to the arches. Arches, arches.
Sorry.
In the grey light of dawn, we spied a tall figure in a Norfolk cape, deerstalker hat, and smoking a large meerschaum pipe.
It's Mummy.
I'm not Mummy. I'm Sherlock Holmes, and this is my colleague. I'd like you to meet Dr. Gardens.
Don't you mean Dr. Watson?
No, we thought we'd do a joke about Holmes and Gardens.
That's not funny.
In that case, I'd like you to meet Dr. Watson.
Ha! How do you do, Dr. Watson? Why are you doing that?
I haven't got any lines.
Ah. Tell me, Mr. Holmes, have you any clues?
Well, I do know that a tall, blonde French matelot with a limp and a tattoo passed by here but 10 minutes ago.
Oh, amazing, Holmes, amazing. How do you know?
He asked me if I wanted to be naughty with a sailor.
Interesting, isn't it, that on this occasion the song copy was Daisy Daisy and it was pinned to his left ear.
Just a moment, young puff, that's a fact. Known only to me and the writers, which means that you are... one of the writers.
No, never!
Then you are Madge the Tickler.
I confess. Anything but one of the writers. Yes, I am Madge the Tickler. Every night at the Palace Music Hall, those young toffs would sit silent as I told my jokes. My husband's gone to the West Indies, I would quip. Martinique? No, he went of his own accord. Nothing, nothing. But I showed them, I showed them. I'm such a silly when the moon comes up.
Take it away, Sergeant. Well, that's it, Watson. I think there's only one thing more to be said, and who should say it better than our good friend, the chairman of the Garden Party Committee, the Bishop of Harpenden.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes, and your gallant band of helpers. I know you'll join with me in thanking Tim Brooke Taylor, Barry Cryer and John Junkin, who also wrote the clever little skits we've been enjoying. I think they did it extremely well, considering the weather. I'd also like to thank Mrs. Crosby for what she did in the tea tent, and Dennis King, who not only rendered noble support at the piano and wrote all the music, clever little boy, but he also won the Guess the Way to the Pig competition. Yeah. Well, I think that's all.
David Hatch.
David Hatch.
Who produced it?
Oh, I'd like to thank David Hatch for producing the pig. In conclusion, I've been asked to announce a correction in the Parish Magazine. The subject of Mr. Pensley's talk to the Women's Guild next Wednesday will be bells and not as printed. That was a clerical error.
Get off!
And now I'd like to finish with a song.
Ta-da, Cheeky!